Welcome to Flocking Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at Bird Brain Technologies. I am your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. Bird Brain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And I have one of those grown-ups with me today. So if you follow Bird Brain closely, if you see us at conferences, if you follow our social media, then this name is probably going to sound very familiar with you because we are lucky enough to work with this fabulous grown-up a lot. And so I just had to have her on the podcast to tell us a little bit about how she got so flocking amazing and about her work. So please welcome Carmen Lochner to Flocking Amazing. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited that you're here. And instead of talking about how great you are, I am going to let you talk about yourself. So we'll start. Who are you and what is your teaching story?
My name is Carmen Lochner. I teach at Franklin Regional School District. I live in Greensburg, PA, and I've been teaching for 17 years. I started out at a middle school where I taught gifted and eighth grade computer class. So tech was always in my world. And then from there, I took a little hiatus and did a year in the private sector, training employees on their computer system, and then realized I missed education so very much. So went back into education at Franklin Regional doing gifted for a lot of years. And through gifted, I was able to do a lot of tech integration. And then it wasn't until after I had my children that I realized, this should be open to more children than just our gifted learners. Yeah. So I put in for a transfer and I was a computer teacher and then was transferred voluntarily to a position where I was still am an IT coach, K to five. So I helped to integrate technology and robotics K to five within Franklin Regional.
I want to stop right there and ask a million questions. What did you miss about technology when you left and were working with adults?
I missed the smiles. I missed the little hands-on. I missed the children getting so excited and them, their eyes and their big smiles showing me what they learned and what they did. And just that adults are great, but just seeing that excitement in the children's faces, I missed it so much.
Cool. I love that. The bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Yes.
And a fun little detail about Carmen and I is that the school district where she teaches is the school district where I graduated. Now, we missed each other. I was in high school longer ago than she has been teaching. But whenever I hear about the work that you're doing, there's a part of me that's like, man, I wish that I had had you. There's something that you said that really stuck with me about your teaching journey, about wanting to make technology available to more students than just the students that you were seeing in your gifted classes. Was there something specific that made that dawn on you? Or was that always kind of something that you'd had in your mind and you were just waiting for the right time to take action?
Yeah, I think it was something that was always on my mind, but really when I had my first daughter and I was teaching kindergarten gifted and they were doing robotics. And I saw my special ed director during bus duty and I said to him, I feel like I need to be doing this for all kids. It just shouldn't be the gifted learners. And he said, I agree. We need to work on that, on how we're going to get it out to all students. So then from there, I co-wrote two grants for our district, each $11,000 each, incorporating tech so all students could use robotics and coding K to five.
I feel like I hear that from students a lot. I hear from kids, it's not fair that I don't get to use the robots just because I'm not in the gifted program, but I don't hear it from teachers as often. So hearing that you are the teacher who saw the need and decided to be that change is pretty exciting.
That's very cool.
Thank you. And Sarah, something about my journey into tech is I went to undergrad at IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and I was doing a pre-student teaching in Blairsville School District. And my teacher that I was working with had said to me, you know, you have a real gift for tech. I never even realized that I did. It was just something that came natural to me. And he had said, you really need to go back to IUP and go back for a second degree, a master's degree in adult ed and communications tech. And he said to me, once you do that, that's going to open up a lot of doors for you. So without even thinking, I just went right into it, searched it, got ready and started doing it. So that changed my life forever. That was something it was never even on the radar. I just knew I liked tech and doing it, but never thought about like, oh yeah, I could actually be doing this and teaching it and training adults as well as children.
What a powerful experience that you had with that teacher. I wonder if that teacher knows that they had that impact on you.
I'll tell you a funny story. So I went back to that teacher before he had retired and doesn't even remember that conversation.
He's just that inspiring. He just hands out that inspiration all the time.
Yeah.
But that feeling of knowing someone that you respect and someone who is teaching you so much sees something in you. Yeah. I mean, we're all just big kindergartners looking for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's wonderful. So listeners, if you are thinking that someone around you has a special gift, go tell them because they could come find you when you retire and you might not remember that conversation, but it will have been really meaningful to them. So it sounds like your journey to technology started right when you started teaching. You have always had, as your teacher said, that gift and that mindset. What about robotics? Not everyone who teaches technology and works with computers in the classroom, especially started this journey being a tech coach longer ago than many districts. This is a new position for many districts, but you have done it for a while. You are experienced. So how did you make your way to robotics?
When I first accepted or hired at Franklin Regional, part of the curriculum or part of what they were doing at the middle school was robotics. And we wanted to make sure that the children, it was fluid K-5 in what they were doing throughout gifted. Mm-hmm. So robot, they were working at on the middle school level, we brought down to the elementary level. And it came natural. I don't know if there was any one particular thing. I just took it home. I learned it and I brought it back in. We just did it and they loved it. They were so great. One of my last few years in gifted ed, there was a student that liked it so much that he taught himself through YouTube videos, Python, and I think it was C++ coding.
Wow.
So as much as I'm teaching them, they're teaching me.
As someone who has spent a lot of time with Python YouTube videos, that is not easy. Wow. That inspiration, seeing a student who's that invested that they will go home and keep going is pretty incredible. So as you've been working with technology and creative robotics, can you share a challenging moment from your classroom, from your teaching experience, and a rewarding moment too? What have those ups and downs looked like for you?
I'd say a challenging part, since I'm K-5, I work with 60 different teachers.
So is that the full faculty of one school, or do you travel between multiple schools?
I travel between two schools, our primary school and our intermediate school. And it's roughly about 60 teachers that I'm working with. And that's classroom teachers. That's not your LS, your learning support teachers, or gifted support teachers. Like, not counting those. I was just
It's more than 60 is what you're saying.
So that's a challenge within itself.
Just finding time to work with everyone, reaching all of those different goals at once. How do you balance that?
So we have in our district, we have PLCs, professional learning communities, where different grade levels meet different days of the week. So I'm able to pop into those or get into those and hear what they're doing, see what they're doing, listen to them and what they're doing, and then come back with some ideas on how we can integrate tech. And that's the rewarding part, is they're open to suggestions. They're open to new learning. These teachers, they're wonderful. The rewarding part for me is not only being able to work with them, but when they come to me and say, hey, I have an idea. Can we do this for this lesson? And yeah, absolutely. And I'm thrilled when they do. And they have amazing ideas. Amazing. They're so good at their skill set, at their grade levels.
It's that quote about fishing for someone versus teaching them to fish. Yes. You know, if you do that incredible lesson in their classroom, then you have fished with them and it's been a really great day. But when they come to you and they have an idea, like, everybody's fishing now. Yes. They're fishing when you're not around. They have the fishing skills.
Absolutely.
And one thing that stands out to me about Carmen, we were lucky enough to present together at the Computer Science Teacher Association conference in Chicago last month. And we gave a session called CS Everywhere, STEM outside of the lab, all over the school. And we were speaking with a large group of teachers about the incredible work that Carmen has done to build a tech ecosystem in her school that goes beyond her. You know, she's just one person, but she's working with these 60 teachers and how she's built this foundation. And as part of that presentation, we talked about the different types of technology adopters and how you approach each one differently. And we got to the type of technology adopter that is called a laggard, which is a person who kind of lags behind. They're not an early adopter. They might not be integrating technology if they had a choice, but they are doing it because it's time. And Carmen looks over me and goes, that's my favorite. I love working with people that hate technology.
It is a true challenge. Because I know these teachers and I know they are so, so good at their grade level, at the content, at the standards that they're teaching. And if you peel back the layers, you're going to find they're just scared.
Oh, yeah.
And once I'm there and I tell them, I will be with you the whole entire time. I am not leaving. Their fear is usually, I don't know how to code. What happens when the tech goes awry? Like, what do I do? And that's when I tell them, I'm here. That's what I am. You are the one that's going to bring all this knowledge, because they know their subject area way better than I ever will. And they have the experience with it. So together as a team, it feels like we're unstoppable when I work with them.
Love that. So perfect time to ask, what advice would you give to teachers that are looking to start teaching with technology and even specifically with creative robotics? What would you tell if you had a new teacher who came to you and said, I want to get started, but I'm feeling that fear. I don't know what this is going to look like. What would you tell them?
Tell them to obviously network with me and with other teachers that are, you know, implementing tech within their classrooms. Also, what worked very well for me is networking with local, I call them a Westmoreland intermediate unit, but it's an intermediate unit that supports the local districts where they introduce you to a lot of tech. That's where I was able to meet Dr. Lowers. And those hands-on experiences really helped, because at first you're nervous. I mean, everybody is, even somebody who has a tech background learning something brand new. But he did, his PD was so engaging, hands-on. He was there. If you had questions, he was right there to answer them. And a lot of the robotics websites have PD and even have lesson plans for you. I mean, so it's all right there for you. They've done amazing job, these robotic companies.
It's easy to get caught up in feeling overwhelmed and perhaps not dive into what resources might be available or to get overwhelmed by the resources. So I love that you mentioned a human resource that can help kind of tether you and build your confidence and technology and online resources. I think having those two kind of poles to guide you is really important.
Yeah. When you get a little bit overwhelmed by those online resources and videos, usually the company, especially BirdBrain, will get back to me with answers if I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with things, and then will hook me up with the right person so we can work through it.
I can't speak for other companies, but I can say at BirdBrain, we love getting those calls. Yeah. We're like, you know, in every cartoon where the superhero, like the phone rings and they're like, I'm needed in the city. Like when we get those calls, we're like, yes, I'm going to talk to a teacher today. It's going to be great.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I just talked to a real person. So
again, can't speak for all companies, but right. We are a whole bunch of real people and a whole bunch of nerdy people who are very excited to get your calls and your emails. Speaking of BirdBrain, you know our mission very well. Our goal is to bring deep and joyful hands-on learning to every student. So this is a bit philosophical. What does deep and joyful learning mean to you as an educator with years of experience who's taught many different things in many different ages? What does deep and joyful learning mean to you?
So when I think of that, my mind's all over the place because there's so many different things that I want to focus on. Well, as educators, we need to teach to our standards for our state. But not only do we need to teach to those, but we're also teaching children, human beings. So for me, I want, not only are those standards being taught, but they're taught in such a way that those children are having deep and meaningful experiences with those standards. So although they're learning, they're actually engaged in their learning. So we always say in our district, you know, that essays are important and posters are important, but they're going to really remember those hands-on collaborative projects more so than some of the other projects that we are doing, you know, as educators. There's a time and place for everything, but you know, you really remember those hands. If I go back to my childhood, I can really remember those hands-on group projects and creating something out of like cardboard, but it's meaningful, right? And it moves, and that collaboration and the critical thinking and the computational skills needed. So that to me, and then seeing their, like I said, back to the beginning, what I missed is seeing their beautiful eyes and their smiles and just, they're like jumping up and down because they got it.
Those are the projects that I remember too. The ones from when I was younger, where, especially if a teacher was kind of like, we're going off book. Like, I can tell that you feel really passionately about this and that you want to do this a different way. And I, as the almighty powerful teacher, can like make that happen for you. Those moments are so exciting. And you might be the only teacher ever who opened an answer about deep and joyful learning by mentioning standards. I feel like you should get bonus points for that. Because it's true, standards exist for a reason. They are important for a reason. And the real challenge lies in incorporating those standards and bringing deep and joyful learning. Like, that's where teachers are magical wizards who are making unbelievable things happen. Okay, I have one more question that I did not run past you first. So I'm going to spring it on you right now. Carmen, what makes you a flocking amazing educator?
I would say my dedication to the students, to the teachers, to the district, to my state, because I loved CS. I loved going through it. I felt like whenever I was in grad school, felt like, wow, I found my purpose. I found where I belong. So I want people to love it as much as I do. And if they can't love it as much as I do, that's okay. I'm going to at least expose you to it. And I hope you can feel my energy and my love whenever I am showcasing that. And whenever I'm presenting at conferences and when I'm teaching in front of students or teaching adults.
I think listeners can feel it right now. I think you've got people who are like driving their cars and getting goosebumps, and there's somebody who's like doing the dishes being like, how do I learn from this woman? You can. Your excitement and your passion about it just is like a cartoon force field around you. And I would totally agree that that makes you a flocking, amazing educator. And at a time where it's hard to be a teacher, like, let's be honest, this is a hard time to teach, to see someone with that much enthusiasm who's that eager about sharing it. I know it kind of fills me with optimism and hope. And I just love that.
Well, thank you. And you know what? I feel the same way when I'm with you and with people that have that energy, as well as the people don't feel that energy. I like them just as much, because I know we're going to get there. We'll get there together, but we are definitely getting there. I promise.
Oh, may we all have the Carmen skill of recharging from people that love what we love and people that don't love what we love. Because that could be that doesn't feel like a wonderful, friendly, rewarding challenge to everyone. So hearing you say, I love when I have to convince people, is very inspirational.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. It was wonderful to talk to you. And friends, if you want to give Carmen some feedback, if you want to connect with Carmen, you could reach out to me at BirdBrain. I am fitz@birdbraintechnologies.com. You can reach out to us at social media and I will find a way to connect you, because Carmen has so much to share and so much light and passion to give. And so let me know if you want to be connected with her. Thank you again, Carmen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Listeners, thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick, bite-sized conversations with real teachers, sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.
I'm totally going to keep that giggle in.